City Talk 105.9. Official podcasts. Online at citytalk.fm. City Talk 105.9. Bloke Talk with Duncan Barks.
This is a man's world. But it would be nothing.
It is Bloke Talk, and it's here, courtesy of City Talk 105.9, the voice of Liverpool. If you're listening to this on Saturday evenings, then hello, I hope your Saturday's gone okay. And if you're listening to this on a listen-again facility or on, you know, a download or a podcast or whatever, then thank you for taking time to listen to it again. I'm Duncan, slightly different Bloke Talk for this week. Well, kind of. It's going to get complicated, and I'll explain why in a second. I'm here. Toby's here. You all right, Tobes?
I certainly am.
We should, we should do the ritual. That is the opening of the cans of Vimto.
Yeah.
Here in the Bloke Talk studio.
Very nice.
Very fizzy Vimto this week. And Laura is kind of here, but she isn't. What I mean by that is Laura and I earlier today caught up with a man who's part of this website that we registered you on.
Yes.
Which is Sarah Beeney's website, and we put you on there, and we registered you last week. Laura and I earlier today caught up with him to talk about kind of like how successful website dating can be, and also to get some dating tips because we thought we'd help you out.
Great.
And you know, you weren't around earlier today, so Laura and I, this man is just amazing. Laura and I caught up with him, and so you'll be able to listen to what we spoke about and, you know, jot down the tips and, you know, sort of like maybe work out whether or not they could kind of work for you.
I don't need tips. I'm what was the word? Something young puppy.
You're a thrusting young pup.
I'm certainly thrusting.
And kind of since we registered you on this website, have you had any kind of interest?
Well, actually, yes.
Okay, well,
later?
Yeah, later.
Tease them.
So we'll catch up with Fred from...
Was that the advice from Fred as well?
Yeah, Fred's great. MySingleFriend.com. We'll talk to him a little bit later on in this show. Laura and I caught up with him earlier today, so we'll play you all of that. During the week, I do a show between 9 and midday, and it's called The Duncan Barks Show, which is just as well, because that's who I am. And I was talking all about how hard it is to be a man in the 21st century, because this woman has written this book. Now, this woman isn't any old woman. Her name is Dr. Linda. Dr. Linda Papadopoulos. Do you know anything about her?
I do. I've seen her on the TV before. She used to do... Did she not used to be the psychologist on Big Brother?
Absolutely. She used to be the psychologist on Big Brother. She's been on This Morning, GMTV. She's been on Richard and Judy. She writes for Cosmopolitan.
Has she been on any dating websites recently?
Not to my knowledge. She's happily married. The book is What Men Say and What Women Hear. Okay. And I thought, because Laura isn't kind of like here this week in person, we can have a bit more of a blokey kind of bloke talk, all right? Because it's hard being a man. You know, you want to say something to a woman, you say it, and they misinterpret it all of the time. Okay, you're on a hiding to nothing. So what I thought we'll do, and we'll do it now, is kind of replay my conversation with Dr. Linda. Listen, if you're a bloke and you're listening to this, somewhere in Liverpool, North Wales, or indeed the Great Northwest, this conversation you will learn from. I learned from this, okay? So I called out with Dr. Linda during the week, and I started off by telling her that as a man in the 21st century, and you and I share this view, okay, we feel, and I feel like I'm constantly being criticised by females, and this is what she said.
You know what, you really shouldn't. It's not about saying that it's a man's problem. It's about saying that, you know, on a serious note, gender is like culture. We raise little girls and little boys differently. Our brains are different. Evolution has made us different, which just simply means that sometimes we're both saying the same thing, but we're coming at it from a very different perspective, and sometimes things get confused. So one of the things, genuinely, that I didn't want to do with this book is kind of man bash, and it's not about that at all, but it's about saying that sometimes we could have a much better relationship and we just let things go because we assume different things of each other.
Do you, and I'm just looking at some bits and pieces regarding the book, you're looking to penetrate the language barrier of manspeak. Tell me, as a woman and in your professional experience, do you honestly believe that men have their own kind of language, and when we actually say something, we're meaning something else?
I think that men and women approach discourse differently, and I don't just think there's an abundance of research to prove this. The fact of the matter is that women tend to emotionalize things a lot more, and there are reasons for this, both through evolution and then through socialization, and men tend to be actually a lot more simple about the way that they approach things. They tend to be a lot more problem-focused. So, for example, if a woman's crying, a guy's going to say, well, what's wrong? Let's fix it. Yeah? That seems logical, right?
Yeah.
But for a woman, And sometimes it's not about fixing it. Sometimes she just needs to cry. Sometimes she just needs to be heard.
Right.
Now, both of them have the same goal. Let's make you feel better.
Yeah.
But you're approaching it from a very different angle. And if you're saying, right, what can I do? And she's hearing, oh, my God, he's uncomfortable with my tears. Then she's going to withdraw. You're thinking, oh, my God, I'm just trying to help and I'm making things worse. And things get problematic. So what I'm trying to say is be very aware that because we are who we are, the same way that, you know, if you were from Greece as opposed to Japan, you're a man opposed to a woman, you're going to approach things differently. So don't automatically jump to the assumption that he doesn't want to hear me. It's just that because he's a guy, he's been programmed into, there's a problem, let me help, let me solve it.
Well, you know, if you care and love for someone, that's what you want to do, but it seems to be the man can't do anything right, because if he leaps in and goes, can I help? And the woman's thinking, oh my God, what's he doing now? If he sits in the corner and just shuts up, she's going to go, don't you care? Don't you care about me? The man can't win.
I sense some pain here, Duncan. All right,
I've got lots of pain. And I'm speaking for every man in the Northwest, Doctor. This is the thing. I've got so much pain. We can't win.
No,
we feel that no matter what we do, it's going to be wrong.
Well, okay. Well, this is precisely why I wrote this. And this is, if it's doing anything, it's saying to women, stop overanalyzing everything.
Stop overanalyzing.
You know, we do overanalyze things. And I think women do, again, just because of the way we were raised. I mean, because of the way we interact. Because a lot of times, think about it like this. Men, you guys are allowed to be quite sort of overtly aggressive. If something makes you angry, you know, you're allowed to have an argument, to fight. You know, I mean, traditionally, if you look at sports on TV, they're male-dominated, political contests, male-dominated. Women tend to be much more covert. And that's why, as a consequence, when something bothers us, we don't just sort of say, we don't come out with it. I mean, I'm sure, I don't know if you've had this with your wife or your girlfriend, where you say, what's wrong? She goes, nothing.
Yes.
Yeah? Oh. You know that nothing doesn't mean nothing, right?
Yeah. Why can't you just tell us what the problem is?
Precisely because of what I've said. I think, again, women are socialized into this kind of, this covert thinking that, well, they have to try and cope, they have to be okay. So they don't come across with that. And also, and this is really kind of another side of what we do, it's this idea that, well, if you don't know what's wrong, we expect you to be line readers. If you don't know what's wrong, then you can't possibly love me enough, which kind of just stresses you guys out more and, again, creates problems. So what I'm saying in the book is learn how to understand when he says what's wrong. He's not saying, I don't love you enough and I don't care and I don't, he's basically saying I'm not a mind reader and I haven't picked up on all the small cues that you have throughout the day that led to this.
We're talking to Dr. Linda Papadopoulos about her new book, What Men Say, What Women Hear. We're trying to debunk some man myths here, because I genuinely believe being a man in 2008 is one of the toughest things to do. We need some help, Doctor. I'll give you a couple of examples that I know you cover in your book. Okay, if I say to my wife, okay, she says, you know, what do you think of my body? And I go, I find you curvaceous, you have curves, okay? I consider that to be a very positive remark, okay?
Oh, Duncan.
Well,
Duncan,
what's the problem?
Oh, dear.
What am I supposed to say? You know, if I go, oh, actually a bit thin, you know, I'm going to get met with, so, you know, it's not just me, it's every man listening to this. If you go, actually, you could do with a few pounds, what? What, you think I'm like a stick insect? You think I look like posh? You know, you're going to get that. If you go, actually, you're a little bit on the chubby side, that's it, it's Armageddon. What are you supposed to say?
I'll tell you what. If you tell her, I mean, if you get to the point where she's saying, does my butt look big in this, you need to preempt it. You need to tell her how fabulous she looks before she gets to that point. When she's at that point, she's insecure. And body image insecurities are really rife for women. Mm. Again, because society keeps telling women that they have to constantly be this perfect, you know, beautiful young person. I mean, they're constantly bombarded with this. Mm. So I think when you're saying things, she's going to pick up on anything that reinforces what negative things she thinks about herself. So if you're saying curvy, you know, she may be hearing fat. So you just need to be very clear that you find her beautiful, that you find her sexy, and do the specifics. I think the other thing is, I mean, I think guys get so scared they just kind of, you know, they barely look up from the newspaper. Oh, yeah, you look great.
Yeah.
Look up from the paper. You know, say, I love your hair color. That, you know, that dress really suits you. It's those little things. And genuinely, if she feels valued and beautiful, then you won't have to go down that road because she won't be anxious about her bum looking big in anything.
Does my bum look big in this? It is one of those questions. Well, what is the correct answer? You're an expert. What is the correct answer to that question? Does my bum look big in this?
Just genuinely, you have to preempt it. If she's gotten to the point of asking, then odds are she's not feeling good about herself. So your job is, when soon as she comes up, before she can even say that, is saying, my God, you look fabulous, or I really like what you're wearing, or whatever else.
Where's the onus of responsibility in this? I mean, is it actually on the man to actually sit down? Because I take on board what you're saying. You know, men are quite simple creatures, let's be honest. You know, I'm the first to put my hand up and go, you know, a man in my experience, we're quite simple. You know, so is the onus of responsibility on the man to actually think a little bit more and actually think about why the woman might be asking a question? Or is the onus of responsibility on a woman to actually realise that just because we say you've got great curves, it doesn't automatically mean it's a negative comment lurking underneath? Whose responsibility is it?
It's both. No. I mean, it's like anything that works, it's both. And it really does take two people to make a relationship work. It takes one to kind of completely destroy it, but it takes two to make it work. And you need to kind of be invested in each other. You need to learn each other's language. I mean, when I work with couples, one of the things, a really simple thing that I often tell them, is when one of you says something, you feel yourself getting really angry, just say, you know what, this is what I heard. Is this what you meant? So, you know, when he says, oh, are we going to your mother's again this weekend?
Yeah.
Say, you know what, I hear that you don't, you know, love my parents. And he can say, oh, my God, no, I just meant I want to spend some alone time with you. Immediately it's diffused. But if you don't give him the opportunity, if he doesn't give you the opportunity to kind of explain, then it's gone. So just, well, all I'm saying is kind of, you know, invest in it. Try and understand what you're really saying, and don't do these sort of gut reactions where, oh, clearly this is what you mean, and then, you know, start to spiral downwards.
Are we guilty as human beings, though, of actually sometimes, if you're in a particular mindset or you're not in a good place mentally, you actually want to misinterpret a particular question or remark because you actually want to start an argument? I mean, is that a fair comment to make?
That's an absolutely fair comment to make. In fact, not only will you misinterpret, you'll start it yourself.
Yeah.
You know, you'll kind of turn, you know, socks on the bathroom floor into, I can't believe how, you know, you disrespect me and you don't love me. And, well, you know, of course you will. You know, we have world views, yeah? We have what psychologists call schemas, beliefs about the world, and then we look for information to validate them. So if I feel like an unlovable person, for whatever reason, because I was the way that I was raised, my interaction with my parents, you coming home from work will just serve to validate that view of myself. Oh, you came home late because you don't want to be with me enough, because you don't validate me enough. Now, if you don't know that that's my worldview, and you come home late and try and kiss me, and I turn around and I say, leave me alone, you're going to just feel rejected, thinking, where on earth did that come from, right? But if you take the time to genuinely learn each other, learn where these worldviews come from, and I think the book does go into things a little bit more deeply like that, because I think it is important to understand that we all have this baggage that we carry around with us from a very long time back.
Is this book aimed predominantly at males or females?
It's predominantly for females, but I do think it's one of those books I've had people already say to me that they're catching their husbands reading it when it's on the bedside table, which I think is a good thing.
Yeah, I can understand that. I mean, occasionally, I look at my wife's copy of Cosmopolitan because I actually want to find out exactly what I'm supposed to be thinking as a man, you see, and even that doesn't work for me. I mean, I just want to explore this in a little bit more detail. I'm going to ask you a semi-personal question, because it's great to have this conversation because it's making a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
Do you actually... I'm guessing you must have some great relationships, because when a man comes along and says something, you know, that might be interpreted as a little bit kind of offensive or dodgy or whatever, you can go, ah, actually, he might mean this, he might mean that. It must be refreshing to be in a relationship with you.
Oh, yes, it's wonderful. No, I mean, I'm really lucky. I've got a great husband. We've been married 10 years, and he's fab. And you know what? It wasn't always easy. And frankly, you know, writing this book and doing all the research, it opens your eyes up to things. And I was as guilty as any woman for doing a lot of this stuff, and as was my husband, as was Theo, you know, with doing sort of these kind of, to some extent, stereotypical things. But you learn to kind of say, okay, is this my stuff or is it his stuff? And is it, you know, is it fair for me to do this? Is it fair for me to kind of just give it all to him? And likewise, you know, and you get to the point where, you know, instead of your natural instinct being immediately to kind of be this very, you know, to be on the defensive or to immediately assume the worst, it actually becomes almost natural once you do it long enough to kind of just be able to step back and say, okay, what's really going on here?
I'm still feeling a little bit bruised and battered because I do feel, as a man, Dr. Linda, you know, we can't get it right. So I'm gonna plead on behalf of all of the male population of Liverpool, North Wales and the Great Northwest. Just give us one tip when it comes to understanding the female psyche. You know, one tip that we can take away and try and put it into use to make our lives just that little bit easier. One tip, that's all I'm asking.
Okay, one tip. All right. Just be comfortable with her feelings. So... when she's crying, when she's upset, just learn how to listen and try and take a few steps back before you immediately offer a solution. She'll appreciate that much, much more in the long term.
Oh, I've enjoyed our conversation.
Me too.
Thank you. Good luck with the book. That's What Men Say, What Women Hear by Dr. Linda Papadopoulos. It's out now.
Did I sound like I was trying to chat her up?
I have to say, there was one moment where you suggested being in a relationship with her would be great.
No, I quite liked her, you know, because I spoke to her during the week and she was talking a lot of sense and she was almost at one point on the side of the man.
You appeared to, I imagine that you're now public enemy number one for all females and one man in this country.
Her
that
husband.
Being her husband.
All right, listen, we'll come back in a few moments' time because I want to talk about what we talked about because I think there's a whole area there in terms of, you know, what men say and how they're supposed to respond. And I know you've got experiences of that and I have as well. It is Bloke Talk and you're listening to it on City Talk 105.9, the voice of Liverpool.
Bloke Talk with Duncan Barks. City Talk 105.9.
It is Bloke Talk. Thank you for listening to this on Saturday night or downloading it via the website or iPods or Tunes or whatever that you do. I'm stuck at it. I have no idea what the hell works, but thank you. I'm Duncan.
I'm going to educate you on all that.
Can you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, well, you're a young thrusting pup. Yeah. Well, people download it, don't they? That's what they do.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. Off iTunes.
iTunes, great. So thank you for doing
that. Or our website. Can we put them towards our website?
Citytalk.fm. You're right. Let's mention it. Citytalk.fm. You can listen to previous episodes of Bloke Talk. You can download it and do really funky stuff.
And there are photos of us on there now.
Oh, the photos on
the
there?
The photos are on.
Not the moustache photos.
Yes, the moustache photos.
I didn't know about that.
Yeah, they're on there. We had a look the other day, myself and Jonathan.
Yeah.
We're looking
pretty
good.
Do they look all right? Are they okay? If you like the idea, fellas, of ladies with facial hair, go and have a look, because Laura's got a moustache. Anyway, so it is Bloke Talk. And also, just talking about the website, we're on the Facebook as well. Listen to me, on the Facebook.
How old are you?
I don't want to say. We're on Facebook, and there's the Bloke Talk Appreciation Society that's been set up. So if you want to be part of that, and you can message us anytime during the week using Facebook, that'll be great, and we'll do the messages and stuff on air. What did I want to talk about? I wanted to talk about Dr. Linda.
Yeah.
Because later on in this hour, what we're going to do is have a look at your profile, the odd online dating.
Yeah, which I'm logging into.
You're logging into now, because Fred, who's one of their spokespeople, going to talk to him, because Laura and I caught up with him earlier today. He's got some great tips and some great stats. Do you know what? People get married off the back of their online dating.
Isn't that scary that I might meet the woman that I marry off this website?
I think it'll be great if it happens.
The first Bloke Talk wedding. Then we've got to get you and Laura on it.
On what? I'm married.
Okay.
Well, look at that. I'm happily
Laura,
married. Mind you, see, I don't think people are designed to be married for life.
Oh, really?
Nah,
so you'd be happy to go on it and see what comes up.
Give it another 5 years. anyway, so we'll do Fred a little bit later on. But Dr. Linda was interesting, wasn't she?
Was that the first Bloke Talk divorce just then, by the way?
Trust me, my wife, bless her, wouldn't even know how to download. If you said to her iTunes, she'd be going, what, me humming a song? So you've got nothing to worry about. Dr. Linda was interesting. You see, I find it really refreshing to talk to someone like her, and all right, she's got a book to sell, and that's fine, but I found it really refreshing because I think as a bloke you are well and truly scuppered when it comes to certain situations and scenarios where actually whatever you say is never going to be the right thing.
It's
whatever you say,
it's just if they're in that sort of mood, isn't it, that they just want an argument and they're going to start on you and you've got absolutely no clue what it's all about.
You know, and the two classic examples are one, you know, does my bum look big in this? What is the honest answer? What are you supposed to say? Okay, because the problem is if you lie and you go, yeah, it looks good, all right, and then you go out for a night and one of her best friends, girlfriends, because they talk to each other.
They're allowed to say it, of course.
Hun, your body looks a bit big, right? She then comes back and tells you and you go, oh, yeah, that's it. That is it.
Then,
okay, you're on rations for the best part of a month.
Yeah.
You know, you simply cannot win. If you turn around and actually go, so you don't lie and you go, well, actually, it is a bit large, right? You can't win. You know, if you go all about liposuction, you can't win, okay? So
if
what
you
is,
said that, in fairness, that probably wouldn't do the right job.
But what is the correct answer? The answer is there isn't one.
Yes.
And the other is when we were talking to Dr. Linda, you know, and she brought it up, and I'm glad she did. It's how you can, like, you know what it's like. And you would have been in a relationship. I have been in a relationship where it's just like, you're all right, darling. What's up? Nothing. And it said exactly like that. Nothing. Not nothing. Nothing.
Well, there clearly is.
Yeah, clearly is. No. And then what do they say, Tobes?
They say, Well, you should know what's the problem.
Exactly. You cannot win. You stand no hope in hell. And it's one-sided.
If you don't know, you don't love me.
What's all that about? Hello? And you just cannot win. Have you ever come across that?
That exact thing happened to me. We've spoken in the past about my... I'm not sure if I can really call it a relationship, but my whatever
well, I'll tell
it was...
You, how long was it?
It lasted for about 5 months,
right,
probably.
And was it based on a lot of sex?
Well, you have to remember that she was engaged at the time.
Oh,
it was
that's
that
right.
one.
Yeah, it was that one, yes.
If you haven't heard the story, go back and download one of the earlier podcasts.
Yeah. I don't actually know what we call that. Is it a relationship?
I don't know.
A dalliance?
I liked to...
Was it an affair?
I liked at the time... I think it probably was an affair. Yeah. That's exactly what it was. Mm. An affair on her part, anyway. Mm. I dumped someone else for her for some reason because she told me she was going to leave him to be with me. Anyway, so forgetting that, there was one episode with her that sticks in my mind somewhat, where she... Very similar to what you just said. You know, what's the problem? Oh, nothing.
Yeah.
Well, there's obviously something going on. You know, I haven't seen you all day. Yeah. So what I did know was that it wasn't me that had annoyed her, unless it was that I hadn't texted her or something,
nothing.
Which I didn't think it was.
Nothing.
So she says nothing.
Nothing.
And then the worst bit, it got worse because I was sitting there, and by chance she got a text message at that moment.
Yeah.
And she looks at her text very privately.
Yeah.
She turns around to me and goes...
Making a point that she's looking at it privately.
Yeah.
And she doesn't want you to look at it.
She turns around to me and she goes, "See, my friends know when I'm upset."
God.
And I was like, what do you want me to say? What can I possibly say to get out of this situation anyway, feeling like I know exactly what's happened?
It's point scoring. That's all it is. How did you end up defusing the situation? Did she just sulk for a couple of days?
We used to have quite a lot of arguments.
Did
because
you?
Obviously there was the issue, that whole issue with her fiance and her telling me she was going to leave him at some point. But it was so difficult.
Yeah.
Obviously, I've since learned that she had absolutely no intention.
No.
I was being
but
used.
But you learned from
which
it.
I did. Interestingly, of course, it was the bloke being used for once.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I suppose I'm not typical in that sense, but. But yeah, she was a bit of a moody cow, to be honest.
Moody cow.
Yeah.
You see, I think there is this onus of responsibility that it's supposed to be the man. And what is interesting about the conversation we had earlier with Dr. Linda is that, you know, with all these things, it shouldn't be one partner or the other, should it? It should be kind of mutual. You've both got to make the effort to try and understand. But I think there is this almost... I'm gonna nail my colours well and truly to a mast. If you're listening to this and you're a woman and you disagree with what I've said, you know, you can Facebook me during the week, you can email duncan@citytalk.fm, whatever. But you see, there is this kind of... almost this uniformed... And I'm choosing my words carefully. There is this almost looking for trouble. Does that make sense?
I just don't understand why.
Every
why
comment,
do they do it?
The comment is taken, and the first thing that must go through a woman's head is, what does he mean by that? You know? So if you actually say, you know, "I like your curves." Curves?
Yes.
Curves?
Yeah.
Curves? You saying I'm fat? No, I'm saying you've got really nice curves. Curves? Curves? Well, I'm a bloater. How fat do you think I am? It's all but the focus is looking. It's automatically it's turned onto the negative, isn't it?
They never
so why
can
a woman accept the comment in the way that it's meant? Why is that?
I mean, you could understand if there was the odd misunderstanding that happens in life.
Yeah.
But every single blooming time.
It is one of these things, and we're scared to talk about it because now the pendulum has swung so far in the other direction. There is this, and rightly so, you know, for many, many years, women's rights have not been great. You know, we still have issues in the workplace regarding fair pay, you know, which is wrong. But there is, you know, we're not allowed to actually just sit down and go, look, I just don't understand it. Okay, I said you've got a curvy body. You translated that to mean that therefore I think you're fat and I'm going to divorce you. How the hell did you get there? Where's the journey in between? And I just kind of think we should talk about it more.
And of course, you'd said it when you were in a particularly amorous position and you were only likely to compliment her in any way, shape or form.
Yeah.
And still, that's the end of that. No nookie for a month.
Yeah.
No anything for a month, including conversation.
There will
of
not
any
be
sort.
One man listening to this at the moment who will so not get... You know, they'll just totally understand where we're talking about because it is this, every intention, every good intention in your heart, your mind, your brain, you want to make a nice comment. You make what is, you think, a totally innocent and actually quite pleasant remark. And all of a sudden, in the space of what, 5 seconds, it gets twisted and turned, its meaning, its definition is distorted, and all of a sudden, you're in a doghouse and you've not done anything wrong.
I mean, you know, you look really pretty tonight. Oh, so am I not sexy then?
Yeah, or even worse, what, I don't look pretty normally?
Yeah.
How can you deal with that? Yeah. Where is the point where you can actually, you know, where's the point from which you can repair the damage? Because it's such an innocent remark. You look, you know, you're looking very pretty tonight. You're looking beautiful. You're looking gorgeous. Oh, well, don't normally then. What, I look like a dog? No, I never said that. But how do you get there? It's if someone.
But of course,
could understand
if you said you're looking particularly pretty tonight,
yeah.
They'd still find something wrong with that.
Yeah.
They'd still, you know, maybe they wouldn't be able to go come back and say, oh, am I not normally pretty then? Yeah. But they'd come back with something else, wouldn't they? That you hadn't even fathomed possible.
I don't, and I'm not paranoid about it. I actually think they all sit down together, right? They all sit down together and they decide that, you know, okay, I'll tell you, do you know what? What? I know how we can really infuriate and irritate our husbands and boyfriends. That's what really happens.
Do you think they do it because they enjoy it? Then?
Yeah, it's torture. It's like when they go on girls' nights out, okay, you know, it's kind of like, oh, we're going to, you know, me and Suze and Ange and, you know, Josephine and Laura are all going to go out on a night in the town, right? You know when women go to loo in pairs?
Yes.
That's what they're talking about.
Do you think?
Yeah. They're working out how they can torture their boyfriend or husband mentally for the next week.
It's unfortunate, this, because in a way, you really want Laura here to explain this.
Let's get
but the reason that we can only discuss it without
is because she's not here.
Well, we know her reaction to your show when you were discussing this, don't we? She wasn't impressed,
she
to say the least.
She texted me to say she's going to come in the studio and punch me.
I think the fact is that we wouldn't be able to have this as a discussion if she was here. She'd just deny it entirely.
But you see, that's
a conspiracy.
I liked about Dr. Linda. She actually kind of understood that this went on.
Do you think she's the only female in the world that understands?
I think
there must
be marry Dr. Linda.
There must be the odd one.
Wouldn't it be refreshing to be in a relationship with someone like Dr. Linda? Okay, apart from the fact she sounds cute on the phone.
She is quite good looking, isn't she? We've seen her on the TV.
Yeah, you know, wouldn't it be great where kind of like, you know, she says, how do I look in this? And you go, I think you look curvaceous and voluptuous, Dr. Linda. And she just goes...
And you'd so call her Dr. Linda.
Oh, yeah, Dr. Linda would be the handle. And, you know, and she just goes, thanks. That's great.
Yeah.
Oh, can you imagine
how
refreshing...
That's the look I was going for.
How refreshing that would be. Yeah. That would be superb.
It's never going to happen, though, is it?
But instead you get curvaceous.
Yeah.
Curvaceous.
Voluptuous.
Voluptuous. Am I fat? You just cannot win.
I just don't understand it. I mean, it's a real shame because I'd have loved to have had a female perspective that could actually talk about this, you know, and respond to what we're saying rather than your interview with
Dr. Linda. But it's a sisterhood, isn't it? Because they would never actually... I don't think Dr. Linda's part of the sisterhood. I think she's broken away. I think she's escaped.
Because
I think the rest of them just take this kind of like, right.
Maybe secretly she's a man.
No, I don't want that.
You don't think that?
No, I don't want to go there.
Okay.
No, that upsets me. Listen, we're going to talk to Laura and I. Earlier today spoke to Fred.
Right.
Now, Fred is someone who works for Sarah Beeny, who is the woman that we've seen on the telly. Now, is it location, or Property Ladder? I get them confused.
You've got to remember, I don't watch either of those shows. So.
I think it's Property Ladder, and location is the other one.
Is Sarah Beeny the one that you like more or less?
I can't remember. It depends what day it is. forgetting the woman's name. Who does location?
Not a clue.
Yeah, brown hair, large. I can't remember. Property Ladder is Sarah Beeny's show, and we got this website that we've registered you upon.
Yes.
Now, how it works is you can't do it, so a mate has to do it. So Laura and I created your profile for you. And we had a little bit of debate on last week's show. A few people talked to me about it.
Podcast last week's show, if you didn't hear it.
A few people thought, well, they weren't sure whether or not the French horn would be a turn-on or not, let's be honest. I actually think it's good.
Shall I remind people what you actually said last week?
Yeah, can you do that?
I'm sure I can find my profile very quickly.
For those who have just kind of like latched onto this, Toby, we decided, because like at the moment it's a bit of a desert, his romantic life, and more single people in this country than ever before, more and more ways to meet people, including internet dating. So Laura and I registered Toby.
And I've responded, actually, which we didn't do on air,
did we?
I've done that since. So.
Okay, so what we said was a traditional gent with a modern twist. Toby is a one-off with a cutting edge. Must be seen to be believed. A professional man who knows how to treat a lady, intelligent, witty. stimulating and fun. Toby is the kind of man a Merseyside woman can only dream of. Interests include a broad spectrum of music from rock to classical, sports, cycling, watches, buying and wearing, and trying anything new. Did we take the French horn out?
I think all you right. possibly
and
did.
And what did you respond with?
Right, my response, a tad longer. I hope I'm not entirely hopeless as a romantic, because if you remember, you had to tick buttons earlier on.
And you could only
and one
10,
of them was a
you?
Hopeless romantic. Yeah, yeah. So I started with, I hope I'm not entirely hopeless as a romantic. In fairness, I'm quite flattered by most of what Laura and Duncombe wrote. I'm also into plenty more than what she said. I'm an aspiring chef, not good yet, but getting there.
Okay, just an observation. I'm into plenty more than what she said makes you sound a little bit dodgy.
Not very good English, was it? I'll change that.
Yeah. Well, I just have visions of car parks late at night, but that's just something else. Continue.
Love going out with my mate, and I'm a bit of a workaholic, but always have time for the people I care about.
Yeah.
I've got a pretty sarcastic sense of humour, but it's all good natures, and at times I'm a bit dozy too.
Yeah.
I like to think I'm fairly polite, I'm definitely loud, and a lot of my friends would say I'm pretty shameless. I'd better stop before I say too much. Hopefully Laura's teased you enough to reply and I've not put you off.
Okay, so we put on your description, we put on the statement about you, and you kind of like, you've acknowledged that and you've put on your own kind of stuff there. So it's up and running.
Yes.
Okay, it's on this website. And just out of interest, how many interests have you had?
Well, the thing that it works, the way that it works on this website is that people add you as a favourite before they might message you. And I have got one person who's added me as favourite, who's in fact changed her photo since I last looked.
Ding dong. Can you bring that up?
Quite a
Can
bit,
you make
yeah,
that
just,
a bit?
There you go. She's better looking than she was the first time I saw.
Look, I'm a married man. I can look but never touch, and that's fine. And I get very few
See if
pleasures
I can
in
show
life
you her
these
original
days.
So photo. That was the original photo.
Yeah.
This one there.
Yeah. No, See, that's a bit ropey.
That doesn't look 22.
That one.
That one's nice. What about that?
Okay, I think she looks really nice, and she's in West Yorkshire, is that correct?
She is, she's from Leeds, that's the other issue.
Well, she's down the M62, what's your problem?
Quite a long way away. Yeah. I tell you what, there's somebody actually in the newsroom.
Romance can conquer many distances.
Well, it can, yes, but as we've spoken to about Laura, she's struggled with that.
Yeah.
There's actually somebody else in the newsroom, and now when this person added me as their favourite, I said to him, you know, if you hadn't known her before you moved back to Liverpool, would you have wanted to start a relationship with someone in Leeds? He said, absolutely not. He said, it's such a long way. It's a nightmare, that journey.
It's horses
and you don't
horses.
Get to see them that often. If I'm going to have a relationship, particularly starting a new relationship,
you
don't want long distance.
Is that the only person?
It's the only person that's added me so far.
Okay.
But one in a week is quite
one,
good.
One's good. That's
once
good.
Once
that's
a week,
good hit
that's
rate.
Fine.
That's fine. All right. What we're going to do, Laura and I, earlier today, caught up with Fred from this internet site, kind of like dating online thing, and he not only gave us some background to the particular website and how it was all set up, but also some of the successes and also some top dating tips that you should take on board. So we'll talk to Fred. Laura and Duncan talk to Fred from mysinglefriend.com in a few moments' time here at City Talk 105.9.
This is a man's world.
Bloke Talk with Duncan Barks, City Talk 105.9.
But it would be nothing.
So it's Bloke Talk and it's City Talk 105.9, the voice of Liverpool. And if you're a regular listener to Bloke Talk, you'll know that we're doing this thing with Toby, who's he's one third of Bloke Talk, isn't he? Because I'm Duncan, you're here, you're Laura, and there's Toby as well. Now, just to be very open and honest about this, Toby is not in the studio with us at the moment because he's had to go off and do something. That's fine, because what we wanted to do, and Toby will get to hear this and pick up on some of the information we're about to discuss. We wanted to talk to someone, find out a bit more about the website that you registered him on last week.
It was me,
Yeah, we put all the stuff on there. Find out about some of their statistics and stuff and find out, you know, maybe some of the success stories about people maybe finding their life partner. So what I've done, I've got on the line now, I've got a gentleman by the name of Fred, who is a spokesperson for mysinglefriend.com. Hello, Fred.
Hello there, Duncan.
Keeping well?
Yeah, I'm keeping very well,
Good.
Thank you.
Listen, thank you for getting involved in this. Loads of questions that Laura and I would actually like to ask you, and also we're going to pick your brains about dating and stuff, and then when Toby's back in the studio, we'll play that to him, and he can obviously take the information on board. But, I mean, the website's been going for how long?
Well, it's been going for about 3 years now. We just had our third birthday last week.
Yeah.
And it was launched in 2005.
And I mean, we've talked about this being Sarah Beeny's website. Just outline kind of like the Beeny connection, if you like.
Well, it was actually Sarah's idea.
Yeah.
She sort of really enjoyed matchmaking her friends. And one night she had the idea of a website where you actually describe your friend. So she got in touch with Amanda Christie, who is an old childhood friend of hers, yeah. and they decided to build a website together.
You see, I think that's quite refreshing, isn't it?
Because it's a bit different.
It is different, and that you've got that kind of... what I like about this site is the way that is, and we've actually Laura's known Toby for a while, so Laura actually registered Toby on your site. And I think there's something quite special and magical about a friend recommending another person.
Well, and of course you know that the actual single people on the site have got friends,
yeah.
which is always refreshing as well.
Yeah. It's useful, isn't it? It takes the pressure off a bit. So, I mean, is that 3 years up and running? I mean, give us some idea of the kind of people who are registered at the moment in terms of numbers.
Well, we've attracted over 350,000 users, and over 300 people actually find love on the site per month. So they leave the site telling us that they've met somebody fantastic.
Yeah.
And we get in about one marriage per month as well. Obviously, in the summer months, it goes up a lot. Sometimes we can get 4 or 5 in a week. But, it averages about one marriage per month.
And is there more men or more women registered on the site?
It really depends on the area that you're in. I know that in Gloucestershire, where I'm based, there are actually more women on the site. Mm. But it really depends which area. But quite often, it's slightly women-heavy.
I would have thought it would be more women, more of a womanly type thing to do, sign
well,
up for
yeah,
internet dating.
Yeah, girls like bigging up their friend, I think, a little bit more than guys. But, yeah. Yeah, that's ideal for us to be on Bloke Talk, then, I suppose.
Absolutely. Well, indeed. But, I mean, I'm fascinated. So you get about a marriage a month out of this?
Well, at least. In the summer, it goes up a lot.
Yeah.
That's a great story,
isn't it?
That's the marriages that we hear of.
Yes.
I mean, I guess there could be 2-3 times the amount that actually go on without us knowing.
Yeah. Do you ever get invited to the weddings?
I have actually been invited to a couple.
Brilliant.
One wedding reception on the, I think it was the Isle of Man I was invited to just a few weeks ago.
Yeah. You see, we talk about dating quite a lot on Bloke Talk, and I remember a few months ago we actually had someone in who was, saying that they're kind of like initially... There was, and I'm talking a good sort of like 3 or 4 years ago, there was a little bit of a kind of stigma around it, you know. But this has been totally bulldozed because so many people are doing it. I actually know of a couple who indeed found love. They're now married and they've got a little boy as a result of kind of dating online. So, you know, it's certainly the way forward, isn't it?
Well, I think that was the aim of Sarah and Amanda, who set the company up, was to kind of dump that stigma and replace it with a more modern approach to finding sort of like-minded people who are all looking for the same thing. And, you know, people have very busy lives, and if you actively want to find a partner, you don't want to be sat in a pub all evening sort of chatting to various people. You know that the people on the site are single. You know that if they take your fancy, you can have a chat with them and maybe meet up.
And, I mean, you know, we can't... It's almost a day doesn't go by without us hearing that there are more single people than ever before for whatever reason. So, I mean, I'm guessing internet dating is just going to carry on building because, I mean, having websites like this help people in their quest to find love.
Oh, it's growing, and I think the internet dating is going from strength to strength. I mean, memberships this year are already up by 40% from last year's figures, and that's within my single friend, so it is just getting bigger and better.
All right. It is Bloke Talk. It's City Talk 105.9. We're talking to Fred. He's a spokesperson for mysinglefriend.com. It's Sarah Beeny's matching website. We put Toby on there. Toby's on there, and we've still got a few bits and pieces we need to do with his profile and stuff, Fred, which we're going to work on together. But, sure. I mean, the big question is going to be kind of like dating and what happens next. I mean, are there some do's and don'ts when it comes to dating?
Okay, well, I'll give you a few tips that I often give to members, because I actually write some advice columns on our blog, and I'd say the main tip has to be your photo. You really need to think about what is in your photo, because it's a snapshot of your life, and that is the first impression the people are going to get of you. So think about how it portrays you, how the lighting is, what's in the background. You know, if the photo is interesting and eye-catching, you're on to a winner, really.
Yeah, and I think I was discussing this with someone the other day. As human beings, we're programmed. We automatically make judgments on people by their picture, which you can argue is a little bit shallow, but we're programmed to do that. That's how we do. We look at something or someone, and we immediately draw a conclusion. So, I mean, that just echoes what you're saying. The photo... I mean, you want to be getting the best photo on there possible. I'm just trying to think. We had a good photo of Toby.
Toby's photo is fantastic, actually.
Yeah,
he looks more handsome in that photo than in real life. Yeah.
Well,
don't you think?
We will try and cut that bit out, I think. Don't tell the ladies of Liverpool.
No, he's all right. He's a good-looking fella. Yeah. He also plays a French horn as well, which I discovered last week, which we put on his profile. What other tips, Fred?
Think about what you're going to put into your first message. If you can fill it with sort of energy and pace and humour, that is absolutely fantastic, and it will grab someone's attention. I mean, if you think about your first message as a flirtatious look across a bar, you know, you want to grab someone's attention. You don't want to go on about your life story or your mortgage or your pets. You just want to tell them a little bit about yourself. Mm. If you let them know that you've read their profile, that's always good because... Yeah. You know, it shows that you've spent a little bit of time and you're making the effort. But think about how you want yourself to come across in your first message. It's very important too.
And what about, I mean, obviously Toby's just about to set out on this voyage, on this thing. What about when he actually gets down to sending the messages? And what do you think he should say to the women to make them actually go on the date with him?
Well, that's a tricky one because every person is different. But just things about himself that differentiate him from other guys, things that make him him, as opposed to, I mean, we hear a lot in profiles and in messages, I like going out and I like staying in. I mean, there's not much else you can be doing.
No.
So think about, I don't know, your idiosyncrasies that give you your personality.
Well, this was a thing, because Toby was a bit embarrassed about us writing on there that he could actually play the French horn.
Not at all. But that's good, isn't it? Well.
I think that makes him an interesting person.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Okay, and I just want to go back and say, are there any more dating tips we need to cover from stuff you've written in your blog before I ask you a few more questions?
Well, there are lots, but I've actually put these three tips for guys together.
Yeah.
That I'll just let you know very quickly. First one is your get-out-of-jail-free card. And if you avoid setting up a normal sort of regular date, I don't know, that could be a dinner for two or drinks or whatever, but set up a non-date. So that would be a quick coffee in the daytime, just sort of 30 minutes max. And if there's no chemistry between you, you can send a text and not have any bad feeling.
Yeah, like that. Will that work for you as a lady, Laura?
Yeah, I think, because a woman would want that as well.
Yeah, absolutely, definitely for both. And you gain plus points for originality. So if you can suggest a date, when you actually get to the date, suggest something a little bit different, I think you'll often gain more points from a lady's point of view.
Yeah.
And lastly, if you go on a date and you really like the person, make sure you let them know. And if you don't like them, give them a quick handshake at the end. And I think it tells all, really.
Yeah. I've just got this vision now, sort of like, well, it's been terribly nice, thank you. See you around, well, maybe one day, who knows.
Oh, yeah, exactly. You know, very nice to meet you.
Yeah.
Take care.
Yeah. This has been really, really useful. Have you got any more questions for Fred while we've got him here?
No, I don't think so.
I've got a question, because we talked about the kind of geographic splits, and you mentioned, you know, you're based in Gloucestershire and there's, you know, more of one sex registered than another. What about ages? Is it right across the age spectrum, or are we seeing a kind of trend in a certain age bracket who are maybe using sites like yours more so than other demographics or other age groups?
Well, we know on other dating websites, their demographic is often a little bit older than ours.
Right, okay.
So sort of 40s to 50s.
Yeah.
But the average age for someone on My Single Friend is about 31, which is quite a lot younger. And they're often in jobs in the media and teaching and things like that.
Yeah. Do you think that's a Beanie effect? Because we all love Sarah Beanie on the telly.
I also think it's because you get your friend involved and it's a bit of fun.
Yeah, I think that's good.
The social networking element, because you can have groups of friends linked together. You know, one person is describing another. Mm. They then describe one of their other friends. So you get this community element, which also means you can check out people's friends, which is very useful in the dating world too.
All right. Listen, thanks for your time. Enjoy the conversation, and we'll see where it goes from now. Thanks for your time.
Nice to meet you both.
Well, he's nice, isn't he?
Seemed like a nice guy.
It is Bloke Talk, and you're listening to it on City Talk 105.9, The Voice of Liverpool. Earlier today, Laura and I caught up with Fred from mysinglefriend.com, and he had some good tips there. Do you know what I picked up from that?
What?
Your photo. Your photo's got to be really important.
Yeah.
And we have been looking, haven't we, about various photos for ladies
have.
In the Merseyside area. We're just exploring Cheshire at the moment.
Yeah.
And the photos can make or break, I would
well,
say.
Well, they can, yeah. I mean, as I said, as I expressed surprise earlier when we looked at the one young lady who's added me as her favourite, and she's changed her picture since I last looked.
Yeah.
And initially I thought, and now I think,
No, she's a good-looking lady. And the other thing that I learned from that was one is the importance of your first message.
Yeah.
Because that's going to be like your opening gambit, isn't it? That is the virtual equivalent of going up to someone in a bar. So you don't want to be coming out of a load of rubbish and like stuttering and gibbering away.
The one difference, of course, is that you know that this person's single as well, whereas going up to someone in a bar, you're just never sure.
It's a risk, isn't it?
So at least you've got that
but
one.
Your first message to them, if you're going to start communicating, it's got to be a belter.
To be honest, I'm expecting them to contact me.
Yeah.
I'm a catch, of course,
and
they're going to come and get me.
The other thing that Fred made the point, and I know because I was watching you when we were listening to that, he suggested going out for coffee.
Yeah.
Now, I think that's genius.
Well,
because, you know, just a cup of coffee, 20 minutes, half an hour, somewhere in your lunch break maybe, middle of the afternoon, you nip out of the office or wherever you work, that's a great thing to do because there's no expectation and there's no pressure. You immediately start going out for a drink in the evening, it's difficult.
No, it's not.
No, it is, because if it all goes wrong, you'll be doing a bunk out the loo window.
No,
the
you
pub
wouldn't.
Gents,
if it all goes wrong, you have a laugh about it and say, look, this isn't working, let's not bother.
You would seriously sit in a pub.
Do you know what? I've done it before.
And 30 minutes into the conversation go, do you know what? It's just not working.
I've been out on a first date before.
Yeah.
And we sort of were sitting there with not an awful lot to say. And after I'd sort of finished my first drink and she was sort of, you know, coming towards the end of her drink and we sort of were looking at each other and didn't have much to say and conversation wasn't flowing at all and it was all a bit... So, what's it like where you work kind of thing? Bit awkward.
Yeah.
And in the end, I just said to her, look, I don't think that we're really cut out for each other. You know, let's have a laugh about it and go on our separate ways.
What was the response?
She was like, do you know what? I really appreciate that you've just been honest because I've been thinking it. Yeah. And it's
and
you
then
don't
she
want
went
to waste
home,
your time.
Toby, and cried. She wept into her pillow.
I don't think she did.
Her duvet cover was sodden with tears.
Why would she do that if she was... Because
you just basically went, do you know what? I'm not really interested in you. You're boring. We've got nothing to talk
about. We've got nothing to talk about. I didn't say it like that. I said it in a very nice way. I said, look, you know, we clearly don't have much in common.
Yeah.
There's not, you know, shall we just, you know, agree to laugh about this and let that be it?
I admire you for that, because it takes a lot of courage to
do that. I mean, I worked with her and, you know, the working relationship.
God, you didn't go out with someone, you went out with someone who you worked with?
Yeah. She was sort of, she was the equivalent of ground crew. What we have here is our ground crew. She was the equivalent of that.
I used to work with someone, I started seeing a girl I used to work with called Andrea. And Andrea, it's very funny. Facebook's an amazing thing. Andrea Facebooked me about
you told us about this.
Ago. Did I?
Yeah,
did I
you said about this that it was a bit awkward because of friends and stuff. Was
no,
that
was Sam who I lived with.
Oh, I see.
No,
right,
this is a different one. No, this was Andrea who I never lived with, sadly. And Andrea said to me, she said to me, because Facebook is bad, late at night, couple of beers, bottle of wine on the go. You're on there. You're just kind of like looking around and finding out what people have had for lunch because that's all they seem to put up on their thing. And, you know, they have the little online section that comes up of your friends who are online. And Andrea's online. She's like, hello. Hello. And quite clearly, I think a little bit of booze had been consumed on either side. And she said, I describe you as the one who got away. And I was just like, oh. Where did you say you were living again? But it's dangerous. But, you know, I don't even know how I got onto that. But, you know, the thing is, that's kind of... but I met her. I sort of like had a fling with her and I worked with her. And when we kind of went our separate ways, which wasn't... There wasn't any animosity about it. Just kind of petered out. It was difficult because people naturally in the workplace kind of take sides.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think... I mean, this wasn't a relationship with this girl. It just was... That was it. We had one date and it was never going to happen. And, you know, we had a date based on the fact that friendship-wise, it worked quite well and we got on really well and it never changed after that.
But you see,
Also, we knew for a fact that it was just a platonic relationship at that point. Neither of us fancied the other one.
But that's it, isn't it? There is a line that you end up crossing, because, you know, I've all of my successful relationships have been born out of friendships.
Yeah.
Including, you know, I was friends with my wife for a while before we got it together, and, you know, then became lovers, if you want, or partners, whatever the politically correct term is. You know, that's fine. And for me, you've got to have the friendship first. But you've got to be careful, because there is a point that once you cross it, you can't actually take it any further. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
They become such a mate that you confide in them. You can't just go, should we go next door? Yeah. Bedroom's there. You can't do that. What are you suggesting? So you've got to be careful.
You do. Yeah. I'd worked with her for about a month.
Yeah.
And we got on Month's well. Right, so we thought, let's go for a drink. Yeah. And she agreed and we went and it didn't work. So I just said, look, this is never going to happen. Let's carry on being mates. And we were, and it was good.
It's a nice story. So what are we going to do with your website listing there? We've got the lady in Leeds, just a little journey down the M62.
I'm sorry.
She looks great.
It's a little bit too far.
I like the look of her. Shouldn't be
shallow,
but photos are important.
She does look great. I don't deny she looks great. Yeah. And there are plenty of great-looking people that are that much closer, so hopefully they'll take a notice of me and we'll see what happens.
Well, people know where the website is because we talked about it a lot on this show and last week's show. So you're on there.
Yeah.
You're up and running. Your photo looks good. You're looking kind of a little bit sophisticated, a little bit mysterious, a little bit of a bad boy.
Really?
Honest. Yeah, and women like that.
Like a bad boy,
you just look a little bit kind of, you know, you look like you can look after yourself, take care of yourself.
I don't think I look like a bad boy.
That kind of picture looks like, you know, where there's an illegal drinking club to go to at 4 in the morning, and there's nothing wrong with that. So
That's a very professional photograph that we've got going on there.
Well, you could have shaved. Anyway, so we'll see what happens in the next 7 days, whether or not you get more kind of interest in you online.
I'm sure we will.
Which is good.
We'll
find you someone within a month, trust me. Yeah, Laura and I have got a good feeling about it. Listen, this has been Bloke Talk, and it has been on City Talk 105.9, The Voice of Liverpool. Thank you very much for downloading the show, if you have done that, or listening to it on a Saturday night. If you ever want to get involved, you can go to Facebook, and you can join the Bloke Talk Appreciation Society. You can kind of come and be part of our gang.
I'm not part of.
No, you need to do that. Or you can email me during the week. It's Duncan, D-U-N-C-A-N, duncan@citytalk.fm. Any thoughts, comments or questions, email us and we'll bring them up. We're Bloke Talk here at City Talk 105.9.
Listen, and log on to the Voice of Liverpool. City Talk 105.9.